Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the latest edition, the second show for today of Replay, the podcast devoted to women's college basketball and specifically distinguishable games and wins over the last 24 to 48 hours. I'm your host, Coach Bill, coming to you live from the Big Apple, New York on this Friday, January 19th. And as I just said, the second show for today here, as I had a 10 a.m. show in which I had Joanna McNamee, the new head coach at Albany. She joined me after they had a big road win last night in conference at Binghamton. And then following her, we had Brooke Wyckoff, the assistant at Florida State. And they had a big home win against Syracuse last night. And those were two great spots. But we're back at it here for a second show as there's just a lot going on in women's basketball. A lot of big games, a lot of relevant teams, just a terrific season, very stimulating season from coast to coast in women's basketball. And here at Replay, we try and, you know, cover it, promote it, but also get you caught up with some of the coaches across the country and recap some of the games. And then the first half hour of tonight's show, of this show, I will be joined by my right-hand man, Brett McCormick. Brett is my right-hand man specifically with my Ladies' Night podcast that we do once a week that covers the high school circuit on the girls' scene and, you know, women's basketball recruiting, and he's just a true treasure for women's basketball. Brett is the elite recruiting analyst from the All-Star Girls Report, but he also joins me once in a while here at Replay to help me recap some of the games across the country, and he will be doing so right now, as we, again, the first half hour, will look to recap some of the games across the country. And then about 12:30 Eastern time, I'll be joined by Terry Williams-Flournoy, the head coach at Auburn. She's been on with me a couple times before and just has a tremendous personality and, you know, is so insightful and just always a great spot. And she had a huge win last night at home over Tennessee, where they came back from a large deficit in the first half and then really dominated the third quarter and owned the second half and just had a huge win against Tennessee at home. So we look forward to that spot. But with no further delay, let's bring in my right-hand man, Brett McCormick.
Yes, good. I guess it's afternoon. I didn't think what time it was. And I was all disappointed because I saw on your Twitter – that you were having Joanna on and Brooke on, and it said something like Tuesday or something. And I thought, well, okay. So I got confused. I would have listened. I've known Joanna for a really long time. She's a West Virginia girl. Like, I'm a West Virginia guy. So we go back a long way. So I would love to have heard what she had to say. So I guess I can try to listen to it at a later time on the rebroadcast, I guess. So,
that's right.
And I'm disappointed.
That's right. I'll be certainly providing that link for the repeat, but I'm going to have to double check that. I'm sure about that. All right, Tuesday mention in the promotion?
Yeah, I thought it said Tuesday. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe I misread it or something. I don't know. I'm going to look it up. I was going to look it up right now. I got my computer in front of me.
Yeah, me and you
because I wanted to see that. Yeah, it says it says first replay show Tuesday, 10 a.m. So I thought, okay, well, maybe he's just going to have her on, because I knew they played Binghamton. They played my girl Linda Semino last night on the road, and I was wanting to listen to that. So I thought, well, I'll listen to it on Tuesday.
Well,
I messed up there.
Well, how about that? I mean, obviously a turnover. I was booking those shows late last night, and obviously was a little loopy and made that little mistake. But, yeah, I will certainly be promoting the repeat link, you know, for the show that you know, listeners like yourself and anybody else can listen to it again. But she was a very good spot for sure, Coach McNamee, the former Pikeville coach, NAIA coach. It's now taken over for Katie Abramson, who had a tremendous tenure at Albany, and she's in her first year, and she was very candid, honest, and a wonderful woman. And then, you know, Brooke Wyckoff just lights out. I mean, what a wonderful personality she has, and one of the real emerging stars in women's basketball in the coaching profession. And as I've said with in previous spots with her, I think along with Neil Ivey, I mean, those two are destined to be head coaches real soon and likely to be terrific ones. So, again, that was a great show, and thank you for bringing that to my attention. But I will certainly be promoting it the rest of the day so that people can take a listen if they want. But in this second show, again, we're double dipping today. First half hour, you're going to help me do some recap of you know, some of the games last night. Again, another wonderful night in women's basketball. You know, games all over the place, mid-major, high major, you know, again, relevant teams and just some exciting games. And then about 12:30 Eastern time, when you depart, I'll be hopefully joined by Terry Williams-Flournoy, who we both certainly like a lot. Wonderful woman, and a huge win for them last night. We might as well start off there, but they had the huge home win against Tennessee, who obviously is coming off the weekend win over Notre Dame, which was huge for them. So certainly they were playing real well. And I got to tell you, Brett, I had actually picked up the game in the second half primarily, and at that point Auburn was dominating, and I'm like, wow, they just literally caught Tennessee, you know, napping. Tennessee, you know, not playing well and came in maybe flat or what have you. But the truth of it is I went back and watched the first half, is Tennessee got off to a big time start and owned the first quarter. So Auburn had a lot of adversity in the first quarter, and then certainly got it going at the end of the quarter and in the second quarter, and climbed back. Actually had a buzzer beater shot to take the lead at halftime, and then, like I said, the third quarter they just dominated. But a huge signature win for Coach Flournoy, as they beat obviously the signature program in Tennessee, who again was coming off a monumental win over Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think what happens is with Auburn is if they get things going offensively, that really helps them. But then they do a lot of different things defensively, the way they press and where they press. And like they said, they'll press you right off the jump ball, you know. So they're doing a lot of things. If you've never played against them, you don't really experience that type of a defense. It's kind of like playing West Virginia men the way Huggins plays. They just press you all over the court. They're all over you. And sometimes you look out there and you feel like they got 10 players out there, but they really only have five. And Auburn's kind of like that too. So sometimes people just don't – they kind of fall asleep, and that's all it does. That's all it takes is to fall asleep for a couple of minutes or a few possessions, and before you know it, you know, they've fed off their defense along with scoring on their offense. And, you know, they're a dangerous team this year just for that reason.
Yeah, and Brett, they were led by Janiyah McKay, their sophomore guard, at 29 points, 17 in the first half, pretty much – almost all of those in that second quarter that really, you know, got them back into the game and got them rolling. And then the other player who just, you know, has become this year, watching her closely, has become one of my favorites across the country, is Katie Furking, the versatile senior forward. And she had 22 and 7. And I just love her toughness. She plays bigger than her size, and her versatility. The kid is quick, and what a load she is off the dribble, especially in the middle of the floor. But really have become a huge fan of her. But those were the two players that really led them. And just, you know, again, and wrapping up this game, again, just a big signature win for Auburn. We know that she's getting it done on the recruiting trail, and, you know, they bring in Brooke Moore out of the 2018 class was a huge sign for them. But they're now, again, they were an NCAA tournament team last year, which really was a breakout year for Coach Flournoy and the Lady Tigers. And now this year, you know, they're backing it up where they are now 14-5, 4-1 now with that huge win in the SEC. And so, again, just a signature win that not only keeps them moving forward in the SEC for this season, but also sends a statement to recruits.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing I like about her incoming recruiting class in the 18 class is they're athletic and they can defend too, and they can play her type of game. But I think they bring more firepower on the offensive end too. So that can only help them to even get better, because some of the kids that they had, or, you know, like you said, some games they score and some games they don't. And I think Brooke Moore, she could light you up for 30 on every night if she wanted to. So I just think with getting kids like that, it's only going to – well, like right now they're standing in third place in the SEC behind Mississippi State and South Carolina. So one of them is going to take a loss on Monday night. So she could be technically tied for second place, if she wins her games this weekend. So, Like I said, put a feather in the cap for the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, and they got a home game this weekend too. So, all right, so moving along, before we get to some of the games that you watch, the handful of games that you watch, and let's have some thoughts. How about Mississippi State and Coach Vic Schaefer? They just keep it rolling, and certainly they were expected to beat Alabama last night, a road game. But again, Matt, can't say enough. They are now 20-0 after a breakout year last. They're now 20-0 on the season. One of only, obviously, with UConn, a couple teams undefeated, and 6-0 in the SEC. And they just keep rolling and along methodically. They're obviously known for being terrific on the defensive side of the ball, but offensively, led by their star wing Victoria Vivens, and now this post player Chinwe Okori, their senior. You know, big kid. She's about 6'7", I think. And, she had another strong game yesterday for them, 15 points, 8 rebounds. And, Mississippi State just keeps rolling along as they continue to cement themselves as an elite program.
Yeah, they do. And the thing I see in this year, you hit on it there, about that they've always been a defensive team. And a lot of times they could handle almost anybody defensively. But like we always talk about, when you play the UConns and the teams that can score points, if you can't match them or get to 75, then it doesn't matter how good a defense you play. You're probably not going to come out on top, probably 8 times out of 10 or more. You're not going to win the game. But this year they're putting a lot more points on the board, and they're getting a lot of a lot of different points. It's not all just on on Vivian's shoulders, that she's the only ones that scores, and she's getting a lot of help.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, they play at South Carolina on Monday night, and that's a draw game in my opinion, even though South Carolina's playing home. So if South Carolina wins, I think that'll be fine. But I won't be surprised if Mississippi State wins either, though.
You do a great job of mentioning how that game's coming up on Monday. I mean, that's a must-see game for any women's college basketball fans. You know, two of the elites going at it, and obviously, Mississippi State, undefeated. So that's definitely a huge matchup to follow and watch on Monday night for sure. But moving along, Brett, one of the games you got a chance to get eyeballs on, and I certainly did too, and was one of the real exciting ones of the night, was Michigan and Maryland, especially for three quarters going toe-to-toe, and Michigan on the road at Maryland really was up to the test, especially for three quarters. And, their big kid Thoman, I found out after the game, I was actually sick the day or two before, so she went into the game a little and she didn't play as well as she certainly would hope in that big matchup with Brianna Jones, inside, and certainly finding out afterwards it makes maybe a little bit of sense why she didn't play as well, but certainly the difference in the game wound up being Jones and the fourth quarter, and honestly it's like Kia Gillespie and also Kyla Jones, their freshman, Kayla Jones. So, I mean, they got some big contributions from those two ladies. But once again, Brianna Jones, led the way, 25 points, 10 rebounds, and again, was just too much for Michigan inside and for Thom.
Yeah, I agree, and that was the thing also. Thom got into foul trouble, so it did kind of look like she wasn't moving as well when I watched, and she kind of was just kind of reaching and not being aggressive as she normally is, and I think she probably just, like you said, wasn't feeling up to par. And but the thing is, Breonna Jones, when she first hit Maryland, she was a little too big, and she had all the footwork, she had all the skills, she had all that it took. She just needed to get in better shape. She's done that now, and she's just a machine. And, you know, like I said, when UConn played them last year, not this year, but last year, they had no answer for her. And
yep.
I think that she's probably one of the best post players, if not the best, in college women's basketball now. And she can get up and down the court now. And that was the thing. I kind of looked at some of the stats, and I thought, well, yeah, they, you know, Maryland out-rebounded them by 10, 43 to 33. But then where they also got them was, too, they had 10 blocks. So when you start blocking shots, then even if you don't block them later on, if you alter them, you get in people's heads, and they start looking and start, you know, slowing down and thinking about it and not playing, you know, instinctively. So, but, you know, but Flaherty brought him back, though. You know, she went on a roll there in the third quarter, and she can do that. I mean, she's just a machine, man. The girl lives in the gym, you know, like they say, if you're in a foxhole and you're fighting the fight, you want her beside you because she's just like a machine. So, you know, Michigan's got a good team, very good team. But Maryland, even though they start two freshmen, is still one of the best in the country.
Yeah, yeah, you referenced Flaherty and you beat me too. She had 30 points last night, and she's the really terrific junior two guard for them that really only the hardcore women's fan is fully familiar with her and what she's been doing the last 3 years at Michigan. But again, for three quarters, she was leading the way, and they were there. I just feel that, you know, Michigan to some degree is still not an elite defensive team, and they were playing a little bit over their heads for three quarters beyond even just Flaherty. And then eventually, you know, Maryland going into that fourth quarter, they had a big buzzer beating shot at the end of the third quarter, gave them a little boost. And then also, you know, Coach Freed even said that she really got on in that thing. Listen, this half has to be about defense and rebound. And they turned it up a notch. And I think that Michigan just ran out of some gas, but, you know, in that fourth quarter. But they as a program, as they move forward, because they certainly can be explosive offensively, led by Flaherty, but they have to get better on the defensive end. They have to get more staunch and stingy. They still give up, you know, some easy baskets and can be soft at times. So as that program moves forward, they have to turn it up on that end of the floor. But Maryland showed why, again, they are just year in, year out, one of the elite programs, and also why they've kind of run the Big Ten since they've joined it. And they now go to 18-1, 6-0 in the Big Ten, and again, controlled the fourth quarter. So just moving right along, one of the other really exciting games last night was actually held in Missouri, as Texas A&M, who's had a very good year this year, kind of overachieved a little bit. People kind of underestimated them with all they lost last year. But once again, our guy Gary Blair getting it done. But that goes to overtime, and I know there was some talk about some mistakes made at the end of regulation kind of on both sides, but maybe Texas A&M could have, you know, gotten out of there in regulation with a little bit more of a heads-up, possessions there at the end. But it goes to overtime, and Missouri, you know, holds on, it takes over and holds on, and a huge win for Missouri, home win over Gary Blair in Texas. You saw that game.
Yeah, I did. I watched a lot of that game, actually. And the thing about Missouri is they have a good team. It's just they lost. They've lost three or four players this year to injury. I think they got two ACLs and a shoulder. And actually, you know, their leading scorer, Sophie Cunningham, she's been out a couple of games with a bad back. She's got a. They said she had a bulging disc in her back, and you know how that is. That's really painful. Constant running. Pounding does not help it. The only thing that helps a bulging disc, if you can't get surgery, is rest. And she doesn't have time to rest. So, but they're tough. They run good stuff. And, you know, like I said, they take that as they even talk to, you know, the head coach. Gosh, why can't I think of her name?
Robin Pinkton.
Robin Pinkton. Yeah, they talked to her. And like she said, that's a top 25 win on their resume when it comes down to picking who's going to go to the NCAA tournament. And I still think Texas A&M is a good team. I'm not sure if they are a top 25 team. They're close.
Right.
But they don't have a deep bench this year. And, it just depends on who can help out. Curtis Knox and Hillsman's really coming along. The 6'5 kid from Chicago is really
Danny
coming
Williams.
Along. They can get the ball inside to her. Yeah. And so that's a good signature win because they had just lost to, I think, Vanderbilt. This is Missouri. And I think Alabama just recently at home, I think it was by one to Alabama just before that. So that's the thing about, we were talking about Maryland, not trying to bounce back to Maryland, but Maryland's one of the best teams in the country, and they're winning, and when they're going on the road, they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat too. And so, and that sounds easy, but that's not really – that's the sign of the great team or the elite team, when you can go on the road and win the games you're supposed to, because a lot of teams take care of the teams at home, but when they go on the road, sometimes they slip up. And I think somebody could get Maryland, but – they could run the table and go undefeated too. So, but anyway, getting back to Missouri. Yeah, it was a very exciting game, and Sophie Cunningham just kind of took over, and they kept feeding her the ball, she had what 36 points or something like that, but she was 14 or 15 or something from the free throw line. So it wasn't all just what she did on the perimeter. I think that's where it may have been the difference in the game. They have made more free throws.
Yeah, again, 36 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists from Sophie. And again, like I said with Flaherty, one of those players that really only the hardcore fan is familiar with but deserves some more publicity. She's terrific talent for sure. And that game was 78-76 in overtime, and Missouri now goes to 13-7, 3-3 in the SEC, which is huge to hang out, at least hang around that 500 mark in such a gauntlet of a conference. And A&M goes to 14-5, 4-2. In the SEC, and just keeping it moving there. I know you got a chance to, just quickly. I'm not sure how much you saw of the game, but our guy Kenny Brooks at Virginia Tech, who obviously has done one of the great jobs in turning them around right away. They lost last night. It's now to Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium, and so that was kind of a smelling salts game for Kenny as they lost 84-59 and. They now fall to 3-2 in the ACC, 16-2 overall. And, again, they've been a top 25 team now for the last 2 or 3 weeks. But Duke certainly, with their bounce back year, the 15th team, ranked 15th team in the country, now 16-3, 4-2. And, Duke having a huge bounce back year after last year, not making the tournament, having some adversity in the offseason, losing Azari Stevens and the Salvadoras kid, went back to Spain. Stevens transferred to Duke, but Lexi Brown, and you and I talked about it quickly, off air last night. I mean, 29 points last night, and she has been she was obviously a stud for the aforementioned Maryland when she was there. She transferred, sat out last year, but especially the last 2 months after, getting her feet wet and getting back on the court in November, she has been an absolute stud for Duke the last 2 months, and again, had 29 last night, leading them over Virginia Tech.
Yeah, and the thing about Duke is, like you said, she's that's the thing. She's consistent. She plays good every game. She did that. I watched her in games. I watched her play live against Louisville there. I think it was her sophomore year. And it doesn't matter. She's a stone cold killer. I'm just telling you, nothing phases her. She can score anytime she wants. And good basketball IQ. And like you said, Duke's got it rolling. And I think last night. Virginia Tech, I did not see any of the game, I can tell you that, but I look at some stats and things and see that Virginia Tech didn't shoot the three very well, so I'm sure they played their matchup zone, so it must have been a problem for them, and Virginia Tech actually out-rebounded them, but I just think that they probably had trouble from the perimeter, didn't hit their perimeter shots. Maybe like they normally do, and that's the thing. Kenny has taken what was dealt to him, the cards that were dealt, and he's bonded all those kids together. And I read somewhere where the thing is when he got there that he made it all about a bonding thing, about bringing his team together. They didn't even do anything basketball-wise. It was just all off the court, mental, you know, trying to come together as a team. And it's really worked, you know, it's really worked. And the team is really playing together, and it's quite evident by the success they've had so far.
Yeah, and they have some really good pieces there. I mean, Shanez Hicks is a terrific guard, but the kid who's healthy now this year is the young post player, Reagan McGarity, the native of Sweden.
Yeah.
And she's been a double-double kid, and she's versatile, can shoot the perimeter shot. She had actually 13 and 11 last night, so she was fine. But like you said, they just and Duke, you know, I've been critical of them, especially last year and in the last couple of years when they faced like the likes of UConn. That zone has gotten shredded, but it's certainly on point this year, you know, and they have tremendous size up front. They do have Brown, and Rebecca Greenwell certainly is one of the terrific juniors and redshirt juniors in the country. And, you know, she had about 18 last night or so, and, you know, they call themselves the Splash Sisters, Greenwell and Brown, and certainly they lead the charge, you know, with the perimeter attack. But, again, it's good to see for Coach McCauley. She's taken a lot of scrutiny down there, especially early mm-hmm. in her career when she was at Michigan State. I was a huge fan of her. And, you know, again, a lot of adversity last year, not only not making the tournament and the tough year with injuries on the court, but, again, losing Azaree Stevens and Salvador. There was a lot of scrutiny on what's going on down there, and they've really bounced back strong. And they're now 16-3, 4-2 in the ACC. They beat South Carolina. They beat Louisville, you know, at home. So those were two major, major wins. And again, they really are playing some good basketball. And certainly the guard play led by Brown, as we know, guard play in college basketball is huge. And Brown has really solidified and brought firepower to that position. So just quickly moving forward, as we only have you for a few more minutes here, if that, I know you saw the Indiana-Purdue game and Indiana with the home
yeah.
win there yesterday in the rivalry game. So give us your quick thoughts on that game.
Well, it started out and Purdue was ahead there at the first part of the game or the first half, and then Indiana got it going in the second half. But that's one thing that they talked about, that the announcers talked about Purdue, that they're more of a defensive team. And that's what I've looked at. I've looked at their roster before and what they have, and that's the thing. We talked about this in recruiting, where they went for some of the – they went high, really high on a lot of big recruits, and they missed. And so they got other –
Yeah.
other recruits that were very good players, but they weren't necessarily the top-notch players. And so they've kind of molded a really good group of kids together, and they rely more on their defense. And I think they only give up 50-some points a game. And like we talked about defensively, when you play against the elite teams or the teams that can score, if you can't kind of match them, you're not going to shut them down. And I think that's what they ran into last night. At Indiana, where Indiana had people that, you know, like Tyra Buss and Alexis Gassion and people that could score
Cahill.
Cahill, yep, they could score the basketball. And they really play well together. They're juniors and seniors, and they're veterans, and they played against some, you know, some good non-conference teams. And I think that was a game that could have went either way, but you know, Indiana pulled it out in the end there.
Yeah, and they were led by Cahill with the 19 points, 8 rebounds, the junior forward, versatile, tough kid. And Tyra Buss, who gets a lot of publicity, said, the dynamic guard, 18 points, played 40 minutes, Tyra Buss, and had 8 assists. And, you know, again, so big win for Indiana as they now go to 3-3 in the Big Ten. And we know in those big power conferences, you got to at least go 500, really, you know, to be make the NCAA tournament and, you know, and proceeding and all that kind of stuff. So a big win for them, including also the rivalry game. And I've said it before, they've been disappointing to me. I was expecting a better year out of them to this point, not only just record, but, you know, product and some of the losses they've had. So hopefully they can get it turned around and moving forward. I know coaches even talked about it. They're just, you know, they're still trying to find it. So hopefully that'll do it for Indiana. But before we let you go, Brett, I know quickly you watched Wake Forest get a big win last night, so if you want to give a couple of thoughts on that win.
Yeah, Wake Forest, North Carolina was an exciting game. North Carolina actually went out and stretched the lead out on them, but Wake Forest fought back the second half, and What was really kind of interesting was really they kind of looked to Amber Campbell. That's the point guard for Wake Forest. But she really only came through with 7 points. But the other, you know, their other players came through for them, and they actually out-rebounded Carolina. And one thing I looked at was, which was really impressive that I thought, was they made 32 field goals and they had 21 assists. So when you start getting up in the 20s in assists, you're doing like the UConn's, and that means you're moving the ball and you're not dribbling the ball a lot and just trying to make plays. You're moving and moving the defense. And they made a great comeback at the end. They made a big stop at the end of the game where Carolina had a chance to tie the game or go ahead. And they stole the ball, and you know, they iced the game and won 80-77. So that was a great win for Wake Forest, and it was actually on the road.
Yeah, and they come off a really tough road loss at Virginia Tech that went down to the wire. That, you know, that kind of was a tough one for them to swallow, and they've had some losses that they've been in. But that's, again, like you said, a big road win for them. They're now 2-3 in the ACC, and Carolina, who's still very young. I know they were looking for this to be a bounce-back year, but they now fall to 1-5 in the ACC, and so they got, you know, an uphill battle ahead of them. But, again, very young there. But, again, big win for Coach Hoover and Wake Forest on the road, ACC against UNC. Well, Brett, again, you were so kind to join me today. Give me a half hour, some recap. And share some thoughts on some game, but I want to cut you loose. I know you got to get on the road. You're heading to an event, you know, this weekend. So thank you so much once again for your relentless investment to women's basketball and to helping me with podcasts.
All right, no problem. Yeah, it's always a pleasure. You do a great job. Keep breaking it down. Tell Coach Flo hello. Like I said, she's doing a great job. She's probably listening, so I hope she's smiling. So she got a great win. Anytime you beat Tennessee, it doesn't matter what kind of season you're having or what the situation is. Like they said, that's big news and that's big time when you can beat Tennessee.
Yeah, she definitely can hear you. And again, be safe out there, Brett. Good, you know, hopefully everything goes well and you enjoy the action this weekend. I'll certainly be in touch. But again, thankful as always to all your contributions. Thanks, Brett.
All right, have a great day. See you.
You too, Brett. All right, fans, there's Brett McCormick, the elite recruiting analyst and former college coach, which makes him always a nice addition on some of these recaps I do with Replay to get some of his thoughts on games from the coaching standpoint, and a true blessing for women's basketball with everything he does, covering it, promoting it. But with no further delay, let's go down to Auburn, Alabama, and bring in the aforementioned Terry Williams Flournoy, the head coach of the Auburn Lady Tigers. And, you know, I had a show this morning with Brooke Wyckoff, and was telling her how much I adore her and her personality. Well, the theme goes for this lady, because Terry Williams Flournoy is just a wonderful personality and great in these spots. Terry, how are you?
Coach Bill, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I know you must be doing good after last night's win there. Hey, Coach, I got to tell you, and first of all, thanks for coming on. I know that you've had some meetings this morning, and you were just so kind to make every attempt to join me once again. You're so supportive and loyal, so thank you for that.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And I heard Brett, and I tell Brett thank you. I always appreciate his kind words.
Yeah, well, he adores you too, and, you know, so certainly he's a blessing with all he does on the women's basketball. But, Coach, I got to tell you, and here's you and I always keep it real. So I started off last night, and I caught the second half, at halftime, a little after halftime is when I caught your game, because I'm bouncing around trying to cover a bunch of different games and see some things. And you guys, you know, were rolling at that point. And I'm like, wow, I guess Tennessee didn't come to play. And it was, you know, a perfect match. And Auburn, you know, with their press and all this and that. I'm like, wow, you know, Auburn just really got it rolling. But, wow, that's when I went back and watched the first half, boy, could I have been more wrong, because certainly – That first quarter was pure adversity. As Tennessee gets off to a 10-0 start, a 17-2 start in the game. I tell you what, you guys couldn't get anything going on either end, and they came out, you know, guns a-blazing and had energy. And I got to tell you, Coach, Tiffany Lewis, to me, might be the star of the game, just from the standpoint of she got you the first 4 points and broke the drought. Because as we know as coaches, you have some games where you're like, we might not score tonight. It's that kind of start. So her buck, her jump shot and her first 4 points might have been the biggest shots in the game, Cup.
Oh, my God. Let me just tell you what, because you and I just keep it real. That was just god-awful the first quarter. I literally called a timeout and just looked at it and said, have y'all lost y'all mind? Like, we're down 12-0. What is wrong? Okay. Did I miss something? It was awful. And you're absolutely right. Kudos to Tiffany, because I think she just came in, came off the bench, and just gave us that almost like that spark of energy that, okay, come on, y'all, let's go, you know, and that right there just sparked it right away.
And, Coach, you know, obviously as most fans know, Tennessee coming off the huge weekend win over Notre Dame, which certainly anybody knows. I mean, you have to earn a win over Notre Dame, and they did a lot of things. Right? So they came into the game playing well, and they certainly, you know, took the baton from that game and started off the first quarter just looking terrific again. And you had to call the timeout, you know, once it got to 10-0. And I'm always curious in women's basketball because there are a lot of coaches, and I'm just, again, we always try and keep it real here, that to me sometimes just do not get it about, you know, canceling runs and calling timeouts to stop some of the runs. And on the men's game, it's such a big deal. And I know when teams face like a UConn, for instance, sometimes I'll see them wait till they get down like 15, 16. I'm like, what are you doing? You got to – so you called the timeout, you know, certainly at 10-0, you're like, that's enough. I got to stop this run. And like you said, asking what the heck's going on here. And, you know, so good timing with that. But it's not like it paid immediate dividends because obviously
– not at all.
Because it continued to a 17-2. You know, start for them before you guys really finally kind of got stabilized, and they were 9 for their first 12, and I'm sitting there, and again, I'm so hyped for you, being a big fan of you, and I'm like, oh man, this is, you know, maybe, you know, Tennessee has just got it rolling right now where they're going to do work. But I got to tell you, Coach, as we look at that first half quickly, and we'll talk just in some general things about this game, but the end of the first quarter for sure, and, you know, Janiyah McKay wound up having 17 first-half points and 29 for the game, so certainly her performance is huge. But she had a driving layup towards the end of the first quarter that I think was huge, too. We talk about the Tiffany Lewis jump shot that kind of, you know, broke the ice and finally got you going on and getting you on the board. But I thought the driving layup down the left side of the lane by Janiyah kind of gave her something to get going and really wound up being a harbinger, because kind of from that point on, she was pouring in that second quarter with basically about 15 points, but and including some jump shots, which she's not known for. She hit a couple threes and a couple athletic shots, but I thought that driving layup at the end of the first quarter kind of got her going and maybe got her in the mindset to be aggressive. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll go back to your point about calling the timeout. I actually really wanted to call a timeout when Diamond DeShields hit the first three, when it was 3-0. That's when I really wanted to call the first timeout. But I said, okay, we'll just relax a second. But, you know, actually I worked with Lynn Dunn last year, and she really helped me a lot, you know, through the game management part of coaching. You know, sometimes it's not really about X and O's. Sometimes it's game management, you know, managing possessions, you know, managing, you know, the clock, just so many things. And she just taught me a lot about that. You know, what are you willing to give up before you call your first time out? Just so many things, you know, that she, you know, that I worked with her on about that. So, yeah, I had to call that timeout. And like you said, it did absolutely nothing, but I had to call the timeout. And Janiyah, man, she was unbelievable last night. And we know that Janiyah can have, you know, moments where she can just, you know, score, you know. And sometimes it's hard when you are a point guard and you're a scoring point guard, you know, because at the end of the day, she's playing with two very good players in Katie Furkin and Brandy Montgomery, you know. So as a point guard, you want to make sure that you're taking care of your teammates. But I thought last night was a night that she really had to step up. She went 3 for 3 from the three-point line, and you and I both know we can look at a stat, and she will not go down as a three-point shooter at all.
Yeah.
And then just the drive and layers.
I will give you those stats, Coach. I will give you those stats, Coach. She's only shooting 24% from the three-point line, so certainly, you know, going 3 for 3, and it's it's obviously not only, you know, the 9 huge points on the scoreboard, but what a boost it gives, you know, to a team when a kid is not normally known for making threes, you know, does make them. And, you know, one or two of them were pretty athletic, too. You know, one was a hand in their face, and it took some athleticism to get off. And but don't you, I mean, it's not only the points in the production, it's the boost it gives to the team. Because, you know, let's be honest, we always keep it real. When the teammates see a kid who doesn't usually make them, you're like, okay, maybe this is our night. Maybe, you know, maybe things are, you know, in our favor when you get kids making threes that normally don't.
Oh, yeah, and I think that just – she became very hard to guard last night. Now she's hitting the three. Now you got to come out and contest the three.
Yes.
Now she's driving to the basket. Now she's hitting the pull-up. She was very hard to guard last night. And the biggest thing with us, as you know, we have to be able to score to really get into our press as many times as we would like. Okay, we can score for dead balls and timeouts and stuff like that, but you don't have that as many times as you do when you score. You know, so that's really big for us. So us being able to score also gave us an opportunity to get to our press.
Well, that's the thing, especially with you guys. I mean, like, it's not debilitating enough in that first quarter when you can't score, you know, to not being putting anything on the board. But then, like you said, it's the domino effect and the secondary effect that it doesn't allow you guys to do, you know, your bread and butter, which is to get into the press. And so it's just, you know, it's just crippling when you can't score when you're coached Flournoy, for sure. But, you know, we mentioned things that gave the team, you know, a big boost, and certainly Janiyah's production in the second quarter and some of those threes. But how about that Katie Perking buzzer-beating three that right before halftime with a hand in her face? That, you know, just about a minute before that, she took a similar one, which I wasn't in love with because, you know, it was contested and kind of deep, and I'm a big shot selecting guy. But maybe it was just a little rehearsal, because that one before the half that got you over the hump, gave you the lead. I mean, talk about going into the half, not only with surging back like you did to come back from that, so to have that kind of, you know, end of the first half. That's the kind of thing that makes you think, yeah, it is going to be our night when that kind of thing happens.
Yeah, no, and you know, that's just great for Katie Ferkin, because you want to talk about a player that has matured into her role. 2 years ago, there's no way Katie Ferkin would have taken that shot. I remember a game at Alabama where she was there with the shot, could have had the shot to either win the game, tie the game. She didn't even take the shot. So Katie has matured so much and developed into such a great player. She does not mind now taking the shot. And for Katie, I don't think it was anything about, you know, not wanting to. She's such a team player, and she always had the mindset of, well, what if I miss? You know, and it used to be with Katie, well, what if you make it? You know, and sometimes as players, they have a tendency to question themselves, and they see the glass is half empty and not half full. If you don't take the shot, you never know if you're going to make the shot.
And you mentioned players' questions, especially young ladies can tend to question themselves and overthink it, and that's why it's so great when they get to play for such a strong-minded leader like yourself. But, you know, we talk about Katie Ferkin, and you've been on my show multiple times, and you know what a huge fan I am of Miss Ferkin. And I was even talking to Brett earlier in the broadcast, you know, about her and just, you know, how much I adore her as a player with her versatility and toughness. But, you know, once again at it last night, 37 minutes, 22 points, 8 of 14 from the field of the efficiency, and the 5 of 6 from the free throw line, the 7 boards. And, again, going up against a front line like Tennessee, you know, led by Russell, you know, at 6'6", and she's in there, you know, skying for rebounds among the trees. And I got to tell you, Coach, I truly adore this young lady. I just adore versatility and toughness. She's all that. And, you know, there's hyperbole a lot in sports and, you know, with commentary, and I try and stay away from it as much as possible. But when you said – you used the word great, and I don't remember exactly how you used it a couple of minutes, but I honestly think she's a low-key great player. Any player that brings what she brings to the floor, again, the durability, the minutes, the versatility, the toughness, playing bigger than their size, the maturity, I think, again, to me, she's a great player. She ran at her consistency, her consistency and just overall play, whether the numbers showed or not. Again, I said it earlier this morning. I had Brooke Wyckoff on talking about their point guard Romero, how she needs a campaign, you know, for her nationally. I believe your girl Katie Ferkin needs a campaign for people to really recognize what she's doing for you and how good she is, because that is a really wonderful player.
Yeah, she really is. I mean, Katie's leading us just about every stat, you know, out there for us, and she just does so much, and she doesn't mind it. And the thing more about Katie than anything, she's just such a leader. Like the team, her teammates just really respect her so much. I mean, when she step in between those four lines, I mean, she is all business. You know, it's all about
really
just
is.
Getting it done. Yeah, she is.
Well, how about it's little things, Coach. It's after she gets fouled, she's immediately looking to you when she's at the free throw line to see what defense we're. I mean, she literally doesn't break a smile at any point. I mean, I love it. I love it. I love it how locked in she is. And like you said, just even the body language of how locked in she is resonates with everybody else. It's like even if they want to lapse for a minute, they look over at her and they're like, oh, I gotta get serious and I got to make sure, you know, it's just it resonates and – you know, again, I just adore her, and I love, like you said, she reminds me so much of, you know, in terms of what she brings to the floor, of what Nafisi Akalia brings for UConn, not only about 6'1", you know, playing against bigger players, the versatility, what a threat she is off the drill. I can't say it enough. Katie Furkin, matter of fact, I'm sitting here before, you know, you're ready to come on. I'm like, I gotta talk to Coach Flo. We gotta get this young lady more and more in. Like, so we're at the middle of the floor. She's in the shoot. Because I'm telling you, Coach, off the dribble in the middle of the floor, she, and we talked about it before, certainly, but she is such a load to deal with for any forward like Collier is. And obviously, she's older than Collier, so she brings more leadership and that kind of thing. But very similar players in terms of their versatility, in terms of what they bring, you know, dealing with bigger front lines and just battling and the consistency, the effort. She reminds me of Nafisi a lot.
No, she is, and she's a hard matchup. I mean, when you have those stretch fours that are really guards, you know, and a lot of people are starting to, you know, when they defend us man-to-man, to actually put a guard on her if they can.
Right.
Because she's a tough matchup for a post player to guard. I mean, just because, like you said, she can put it on the floor, she can attack the basket, she can shoot the three. It's just so many things, it's so many areas where she can hurt you at. And she's slowly methodical with it. Like, she's just not just going to come out and dominate right away. Like, sometimes you really have to look at the stat sheet and be like, oh wow, like, I didn't know she did that, I didn't know she had all of that, you know, because it's not something so dominating, you know, it's just over a period of time. She's just steady Eddie throughout the whole game.
And the thing about her, too, which anyone that follows your program, you know, she's always one of the steal leaders, and in your press, I mean, she's such a factor, you know, in your press with her length and her mobility. She won't get enough credit for her quickness, but certainly, again, that's another area where she just really stands out, and it's such an impact player for you guys. And here's the thing, Coach. Obviously, we gave her a hard time the last time you were on because a couple of her free throws at the end of the Vanderbilt game. But she must have heard us. And she must have heard us and said, you know what, Coach Bill, in your ear, because she went 5 or 6 and looked smooth from the free throw line.
Let me tell you what, you know, we had our bye week and we had a few days off in case they, we got some days off and I'm coming in and shooting some free throws. She said that was just absolutely awful.
That's it. So she has earned the trust back with her free throw capacity because she looked smooth and confident at the line. So that, I was very happy to see that. But, you know, again, moving along with your team, you know, Brandi Montgomery had a little bit of a quiet game for her. The 8 points, only 9 attempts, you know, 4 for 9, which is efficient, 0 for 3 from the three-point line, which, again, you know, God bless Miss McKay because she really picked it up and picked her up from behind the arc. But, again, that's the other beauty of this win is, you know, you got such a signature big win, and Brandi, it's not like Brandi had a huge night.
Right, she did not. And the thing is, you look at 4 for 9, you're like, oh, shoot, that's not that bad. But just the fact that she only got 9 shots up, you know, people think, oh, she only got 8 points. I tell you what Brandi Montgomery did last night that no one has quietly said anything about. Brandi sat down and defended. And I can tell you after 4 years with Brandi, that is not something very common for her. I mean, she got down and she actually defended, you know, and made it a point of emphasis that, you know, she, a lot of times she was on Diamond the Shield, you know, side of the floor, which we all know Diamond is a hard person to defend. But I thought Brandi did a very good job defensively. And she was actually in there when we made the run, you know, when we got into our press, and she actually scored 2 layups off of that as well.
Yeah. No, like you said, you know, there's two ends of the floor, and while it wasn't a, you know, a big night for her offensively, she certainly was a big part of, you know, of the defense, especially in that second and third quarter where you guys really took control of the game. And, you know, speaking of which, you had the, you know, you're down 25-10 at the end of the first. You flip it in the second quarter, 28-11 quarter in your favor, and then the third quarter, Coach, again. Coach Flournoy with the halftime speeches, I guess, because you guys had a 21-6 quarter, and you hold any team, I don't care if it's Division II, NAIA, never mind Tennessee, to 6 points in a quarter, and that 21-6 quarter really, you know, gave separation and control of the game that you pretty much maintained, you know, through the fourth quarter. And so speak to it, Coach. Give us what pearls of wisdom, what Newt Rockne stuff did Coach Flournoy throw at the kids at halftime?
I don't think I said anything differently than anyone else would probably say, besides the fact I just really got on there, for one, how terrible we were in the first quarter, and then how now, I mean, you're still playing Tennessee, even if they played, you know, had a bad second quarter, you're playing Tennessee, so we can't go out here and get excited and think that they're not going to, you know, make a run. You know, Tennessee is very good at scoring in bunches. I said, and that's one thing, we can't let that happen. They might can do it once, but they can't do it twice, let alone three times, you know. So it was really just a speech about, you know, we need to calm down. You know, we can be all excited as we want to be up at halftime. We got 20 more minutes to play. You know, if we don't go out and continue to apply our pressure, you know, it could be a whole different ball game.
All right, so we got the insight to halftime. So you weren't locked in the bathroom or something, and then an assistant had to take over and give something. All right, so it's just basic stuff. There wasn't no real story to the halftime for Pete.
Yeah, well, I gave you the nice version of it. I gave you the PG version of it, definitely.
I'm still waiting. At some point this year, I'm going to get a real juicy halftime story out of you, as I know it's coming. So
yeah, that'll be between you and I. We won't be on the podcast when we're talking that.
Oh, man. All right. Fair enough. But Coach, you know, on a general sense, you know, obviously, you know, it doesn't take, you know, Coach Bill or a coaching background to know what a huge win that was. And not only just in terms of the comeback portion, which to me, again, as a former coach, the wins itself are one thing and the magnitude of them, but it's usually the process of the win. And for you guys to come back like that, to face the adversity, you know, that makes it almost like two wins for sure. But it obviously puts you to 4-1 in the SEC, which is just big, big, big stuff. And then obviously the, you know, the magnitude of beating Tennessee. So if you can just, you know, give some thoughts on one, obviously, what the win does for you guys to go out to 4-1. You have a home game coming up on Sunday. And then obviously, you know, beating a program of the stature of Tennessee, especially with the win they had coming up for Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, they played extremely well on Monday against Notre Dame. You know, you really can't, you know, as much as you, you know, want to downplay, you know, oh, it's just a win, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we had not beaten Tennessee since 2009. Last time,
exactly.
I checked, it is the year 2017. Okay, so, I mean, that's just an unbelievable win, you know. And when you talk about the win, is the confidence that the young ladies have, you know, the relentless attitude that they have. I mean, to be down 17, but still think, okay, we can get this, and have that mindset, and then come back and win. When you, that's just a confidence that even as a coach, you can't, you know, implement or put on a kid. It has to be something that happens, something that they feel.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to get that win, and then see old Tennessee and all the All-Americans and the win that they just had and how good they've been over the years. You know, I think Katie Firkin probably said it best, you know, in the media, you know, conference after the game. Is just like, you know, why not us? You know, and I really think they have that mindset, you know, why can't we be good? You know, why can't it be us that, you know, people are talking about? You know, we work hard, you know, we play hard. We play a lot different than a lot of people play, and it takes a lot of work. You know, they understand all the running that they get to be able to continue to apply pressure for 40 minutes.
Well, and Coach, you know, obviously we can all talk about it all we want. Kids can talk about Coach, you know, why not us and all that stuff. But until, like, as you just alluded to, until you actually do it and it becomes an experience, it's all talk. And that's the thing about, you know, in a season, to have these games, to have two or three games where you do storm back, where you face adversity, and then never mind to do it against programs of that stature. That's the stuff that really cements when kids in a program can say, yes, why not us? Why can't? And now the beautiful thing of having now that kind of win or a couple of them, like you had it at Vanderbilt too. You know, and when we had you on after that game, is now every game, anytime you have adversity, y'all can literally look at each other and say, we've been there, we've done that. You know, and so, because, you know, unfortunately, adversity at times, can will really reveal what people believe and what they're about. And so now every game moving forward, even if there's adversity or if it's a tough start, you guys have these games to look back on and say, well, see, we did it before, let's go do it again.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the one thing about adversity. It makes you grow. You know, you learn from it from so many ways, you know, on how the adversity of, you know, how are we going to make this, you know, comeback, you know, adversity. How did we even get down this far? You know, I think adversity, sometimes people don't like to deal with it and see it as such a bad thing. But when you grow from it, it is what's the most important thing from it. And just like you said, now you've been in these situations. Okay. Mind you, now we don't want to keep going down by 17. Okay. But they've been in this situation before and they can say, okay, we know exactly what we need to do because we have been here before. So let's come on, let's go and get it done.
If I can just amend what you said a little, because I'm a big believer that, you know, winners grow from adversity and people who aren't winners, you know, they let it pull them apart or they go into more of a shell or whatever. And so I think that winners grow from it and answer the bell through adversity. And I think that's, again, what you guys are saying to, you know, showing yourselves is that we are winners because we keep responding when we face that kind of adversity. And like you said now, Coach, now the trick is to stop putting yourself in that damn position. I'm tired of talking to Coach. Well,
yeah, let's not do that, you know. But I think that has a lot, you know, and I'll go into a little parenting. You know, sometimes you got to allow your kids to fail a little bit. You know, I think a lot of the generation that we're in right now, we want to protect our kids and don't want bad things to happen or don't want them to, you know, face any type of failure. Sometimes they got to fail so that they know how to succeed and they understand what succeeding means, you know. I understand wanting to protect our kids. I'll give you an example. My son just got a 55 on his science test, and I'm all into it. Like, well, what do you expect? You had 9 days to study for it, and you tried to cram the last minute. You should have got a 55. You're lucky you got a 55. Okay, that's a high number. You know, but you can't baby them.
Amen. Coach, I got to tell you, Coach, I think your son's name is Coach Bill because I got a couple of 55s on some science tests too, and I waited until the last minute. But here's the thing. You just said it, and we don't want to turn this into this is a basketball show, but one of the best things my parents ever did for me was what you're alluding to. They would always, anytime anything happened, they would immediately, well, what did you do? You know, and they would immediately, they would really taught me the valuable lesson of how to deal with adversity, how to take inventory, you know, of what I was doing and what caused the adversity and stuff. And you're right. And you and I have talked about this before and why you're such a great leader and wonderful for these kids, because for you, it's bigger than just basketball and basketball lessons. It's life lessons. It's about them growing as young ladies. And that's the wonderful opportunity that you have, is to use the microcosm of basketball and transfer to how it applies to life as well. But there's no question, just bringing it back to basketball, that you guys have faced some adversity, you've responded from it like winners, and now you have these lessons to move forward, and it just empowers you. It really does. And to do it against a program like Tennessee, who, again, came in hot, had such a big start to the game. It's not like it was one of those wins where, you know, just from the jump, you know, everything went your way. And I just think it makes it almost like two wins when you get one of those. And so, you know, just quickly before I kind of – let you go, because I'm trying to do better, Coach, at not keeping coaches so long. I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to keep promises, but you have now Kentucky on Sunday at home. Thankfully, it's at home. You have a couple games now. at home here, which is nice, instead of always having to go, you know, home road type of thing. But you have Kentucky coming in, and certainly, you know, as we know as coaches, we're big into the coach speak and the message. They're all big. But this is, again, another huge one. Finally, you find Kentucky might not be Tennessee with tradition. They might not be Mississippi State with the record. But you guys need to keep this going so that you get out to a 5-1 start. And, you know, again, you give yourself some clearance and separation record-wise, because we certainly know there's some real bear of some games and some road games coming up too. So another huge one on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And really, any team that you're playing in the SEC, it's a tough game. You know, a lot of times playing at home, you feel you have somewhat of an advantage. But it's just playing in the SEC every single game. And Kentucky may not be a Tennessee or Mississippi State, but Kentucky's a very good team. And they've got some veteran players on the teams that know how to win. And that's really, you know, as a coach, you want those type of players on your teams. They've been in tough games. Michaela S. has been in some tough games. She's made some big shots, you know.
Yeah,
it's just always going to be a tough game when you're playing teams in the SEC.
You know, and Coach, before I do also let you go, I'd really slap myself in the face if I didn't bring up Jessica Jones. And because, again, another young lady where the stats don't tell the story. She's in there battling all game. Well, actually, she only played, you know, minutes in the 20s, but battling against that front line, you know, again, you always give kudos to kids that have winning efforts even when the stats don't exactly show it. So congratulations to her and, again, all your role players. You know, everyone, it was really a team win in a lot of respects, especially like you mentioned earlier, you know, on the defensive end and getting it going. So congratulations to Jessica and the team and again, Coach, just, you know, thrilled for you. Again, like, it's a ton more work to go for sure. Another big one on Sunday. You know, certainly, the glow of this game will be taken away if you lose on Sunday for sure. And there's a lot more work. But 4-1, as you referenced, and certainly anybody who knows basketball knows, the SEC is a gauntlet to be 4-1. And again, to me, it was the way you won. You know, last night with, you know, facing the adversity and storming back, again, speaks to the culture, speaks to the intangibles involved, staff and players. So big congrats. And again, thank you so much again for coming on. I love having you on, and I know you were busy this morning, so really appreciate it.
Oh, no worries. I appreciate it. And you're absolutely right, Bear. That's the first thing I told them after the game when I went into the locker room on how much of a team win that this was. I mean, Janiyah doesn't get to the rack like she did if Jessica Jones isn't coming up there and set great screen score her. Jasmine Jones as well, because Jazz comes in and plays the five, who is not a five on any team in America, but because we had a kid that quit, you know, she stepped into that role, you know, to take that spot there when her sister usually gets in foul trouble, you know. So everybody just play a role. Erica Sanders, the defense that she comes in and plays. You know, I'm surprised, Coach Bill, you haven't talked about Erica Sanders in that stance that she was in last night.
You're right. So
I mean, she started the run.
You're right, I'm slipping. I should have got to it early, but I was just about to throw in, you know, again, 5 assists, 4 steals off the bench. Now, again, I still want a little bit more points at her coming off the bench. But okay.
Hey, she had a Euro step last night that we didn't know, had any idea which way it was going to go.
But you know what? God bless you, Coach Flo, for throwing me under the bus there, because I deserve it. You're right, I should have been Erica too.
But Erica gives us that energy, you know, that we need. And like you said, it was really just a team effort. You look at Janiyah's points, you look at Katie's points, but it was just such a team effort, you know, because, you know, they're the ones that when people are coming off the bench, you know, reminding them, hey, it's okay, let's go, you know. You need that teammate there to help you through the adversity. You know, you can't be down by 17 and everybody telling you you're down by 17. Somebody's got to be there to pick you up and get you going.
You know, and since you broke my chops, I'm going to end this with me breaking yours. I got to tell you, especially now that I've gotten to know you and have you on the show, I love watching the games now and trying to read your mind on the sideline as you try and come off, you know, a picture of composure. I know that mind is turning, And I love seeing some of the reactions. So I got to tell you, the game within the game for Coach Phil now, watching Auburn women's basketball, is studying Coach Flo and trying to figure out what's going on.
Sometimes I keep it quiet so I don't say what I really want to say.
Mm-hmm. God bless you, Terry. But, you know, again, I hope you have a great rest of the day. I'm sure you have to have – you can't even have a day off, right, with the game on Sunday. You probably
got
to
–
this maybe
no,
your,
we go today at 2:30.
2:30. So God bless you. Again, certainly I'll be watching – on Sunday to keep up, but thank you so much again. Day after, I know you were busy this morning, and it was not only big to have you on because it was such a big win in the landscape of women's basketball, but you truly are a wonderful spot. So it's just it's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I appreciate you allowing me to get out of my meeting early because I had something to do. So thanks, appreciate you.
Hey, whatever Coach Bill can do, I owe you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, Terry. Have a great rest of the day, and go get them on Sunday.
Thank you. Bolters. Take care.
Bolters. Bye. All right, fans. There is Terry Williams Flournoy, and just adore her. What a wonderful personality. She keeps it real. She's got a terrific, you know, wit and sense of humor, and just makes for a fun spot, and she's also just, again, very honest about her team and situations in the game and what she was thinking or what have you. And, again, a program that continues to emerge nationally and in the SEC, Auburn women's basketball. They win last night, again, signature win against Tennessee. Well, not just because they're Tennessee, but, again, Tennessee came off, you know, a very impressive and big win against Notre Dame. They were playing well, and then they also had that huge first quarter, as we talked about at length, in the spot. And, you know, for Auburn, just as they showed against Vanderbilt, to come storming back from, I think it was the same number, 17-point deficit and a big deficit, they came storming back and really controlled the game from the second quarter on, and, you know, showed what they're capable of both offensively and with their press. And, again, they now move to 14-5, all 4-1 in the SEC. They have Kentucky coming in to their place on Sunday, so they hope to stretch that out and go to 5-1 for sure. But they were led by Janiyah McKay with 29 points. Katie Furking, who I just, you know, can't praise enough, the senior forward, she had 22 and 7, you know, 37 minutes, and just so tough and versatile. I love her. And McKay, the sophomore guard, is just a real load to deal with off the bounce. And last night she made threes, which is atypical for her. But, again, they won two, and Brandy Montgomery, one of their star perimeter players and snipers, only had 8 points. So, you know, that's big that they got the win, and she didn't have to have a big night to do so. And again, the whole team really chipped in and certainly was a factor, everyone on defense. And Coach mentioned they got Erica Sanders off the bench with the, 25 minutes, 5 assists, 4 steals, and chipped in with 4 points. But, again, big win for Auburn women's basketball. The kind of win that they can, you know, it sends a message to recruits as well, and they have been getting it going on the recruiting trail over the last year or so. Earlier in this show, I had Brett McCormick on. We were doing a recap, and we were talking about Auburn. And, you know, Brooke Moore is a 2018 guard that's tremendous, explosive guard. So, you know, she'll be exciting for Auburn in the future for sure. But they got some other recruits that are impressive, and certainly wins like this send a message throughout the landscape of recruiting and to recruits about what is going on at Auburn and where the direction the program is headed. And, again, just adore Coach Williams, Flournoy as a person, and just her loyalty and support of the show to come on pretty much anytime I ask, and to bring such great energy and sincerity. She's just she's lights out in these interviews, and, again, thankful to her. Thankful to Brett McCormick. He jumped on late. I asked him late last night if he would join me for the first half hour, knowing that Coach Flournoy wasn't coming on until 12:30 Eastern, and he was willing to do so before he headed out on the road, and we recapped some games. And so I appreciate his relentless loyalty and investment to my podcast, and then also everything he does for women's basketball. This morning at 10 a.m., we had Joanna McNamee, the head coach at Albany, the new head coach there. taking over such a successful program over the last few years, and they've been up and down, but they had a big road win last night at Binghamton, big second half that will hopefully propel them as she continues to work through some of the irons of being a first-year head coach taking over a new program. She was a great spot, and then we have Brooke Wyckoff, who, again, is another one who I just adore, the assistant at Florida State, another one with great personality, infectious, and she's just one of the emerging stars in coaching and is going to be a terrific head coach, and that opportunity has to be coming soon with all of her competency and her resume as a player, now as a coach for one of the elite programs at Florida State, and again, what an ambassador she is, and she's always great in these spots. So thankful, Brooke, and again, she joined us night after, and she had a flight to catch soon after coming on. So again, these coaches are what make this show, their willingness to come on, their sincerity, their energy, and it's just some great lessons. You know, some of these coaches are great with their insight and their personality, and certainly the lineup we had today has been great. But, I want to give you guys just a quick little recap of some of the other games that went on in women's basketball. You had Notre Dame in the ACC, the number six team. Again, after the loss to Tennessee on Monday night, they beat Boston College on the road, 80-69. They were led by Breonna Turner, 19 points, 8 rebounds. And so on a losing effort, Mariella Fasula, a very good post player, big kid, about 6'4", 6'5", for BC at 20 points, 14 rebounds, and 6 assists. So even though they lost, very impressive outing for Mariella Fasula, 20 points, 14 boards, 6 assists against Notre Dame and Breonna Turner. But Notre Dame goes to 17-3, 5-1 in the ACC. Florida State, who I talked about this morning, the 77-58 win over Syracuse at home, and they dominated literally from the start. They came out firing and got off to a huge start in that first quarter and then just controlled it from there. Florida State now 18-2, 6-1 in the ACC, the number 17 in the country. I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, Duke's win over Virginia Tech, 84-59. Duke now 6 at home for Duke, 16-3 overall, 4-2 in the ACC. They were led by Lexi Brown, the stud guard, 29 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and they controlled the game pretty much from the second quarter and certainly in the second half on, and a big win for Duke against the number 17 team in the country, Virginia Tech. Staying in the ACC, you had Virginia over Clemson, big dominating win. Virginia now 13-5, 2-3 in the ACC. They win 63-37. They were led by Lauren Moses, 16 points, 5 rebounds. So Virginia gets that road win against Clemson, and then you had my guy Brett McCormick mentioned Wake Forest's big win last night on the road at North Carolina, 80-77. They go to 11-7 overall, 2-3 in the ACC, led by Elisa Penna, the forward, 23 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. So congratulations to Coach Hoover getting that big road game as they, again, stabilize and go to 2-3 in the ACC. Top 25 game. We mentioned, talked about Maryland earlier, 83-70 over Michigan at home. Really took control of the fourth quarter and pulled away. They go to 18-1, 6-0. Michigan falls to 15-5, 4-2 in the Big Ten. Michigan got a tremendous performance from Caitlin Flaherty in a losing effort, 30 points, and she was terrific. If you're not familiar with her, you certainly want to become the junior guard from New Jersey. Breonna Jones, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, dominant again, 25 points, 10 rebounds for Maryland, and she's averaging 20-10. I mean, how about that? You know, a marquee program in the Big Ten midway through the season now, and she's averaging 20 points, 10 rebounds a game. The senior has just been dominant. Mississippi State, we referenced, 67-54 win over Alabama. They go to 20-0, along with UConn, the only undefeated in the country, 6-0 in the SEC. They were led by Chinwe Okori, not Victoria Vivens, their All-America caliber wing, but Chinwe Okori, 15 points, 8 rebounds, and she's had a couple of these type of performances of late. So, again, they have the terrific perimeter play in Vivian. The point guard Willem is terrific, and now Okori, the big, I think she's about 6'7", post player, is giving them some terrific play of late from Mississippi State and Vic Schaefer. You had South Carolina, the number 5 team in the country, 65-46 over Ole Miss at home. And they pretty much jumped out to a 20-11 start in the first quarter, 17-11 winning the second quarter, took control of that game. And then again, 16-1, 6-0 in the SEC. They were led by Elena Coates, 15 points, 15 boards. It was good to see Asia Wilson back on the court. Again, had a bad ankle injury a couple weeks ago and missed a couple multiple games, and now was back playing last night for them. Had a solid game. But they have the huge matchup on Monday against the aforementioned Mississippi State. They'll have that at home, but that is must-see TV. The number 4 and 5 teams in the country, Mississippi State undefeated against the powerhouse in South Carolina. So you got to see that game Monday night, Mississippi State on the road at South Carolina. Mentioned Florida State, Syracuse, mentioned Duke, Ohio State, the number 16 team in the country with the home win against Wisconsin, who really was feisty in that game, especially at least for a half, not three quarters, but Ohio State holds them off, and they win 70-61, and they were led by Kelsey Mitchell, their exciting and dynamic guard, 24 points for Kelsey Mitchell. But Ohio State now goes 16-5, 6-1 in the Big Ten on the heels of Maryland. And we mentioned earlier the Texas A&M Missouri game, Missouri in overtime, winning 78-76 over the number 25 team in the country, Texas A&M. Texas A&M falls to 14-5, 4-2 in the SEC. Missouri with the home win, now 13-7 overall, and 3-3 in the SEC. And they were led by Sophie Cunningham, the big guard, at 36.7 rebounds, 4 assists. One of the under-hyped players in the country that really is a terrific talent, Sophie Cunningham from Missouri. Texas A&M was led by Hillsman, their 6'5 post player, 19 points, 11 rebounds. And they also got 25 points from their, you know, just tremendous point guard, Curtis Knox, who's been averaging 9.5 assists a game. Yes, you heard me right, 9.5 assists a game all, you know, this year coming in, and then only a 4 assists, low, very low number for her assist-wise, but had the 25 points. They also got 13 from Danny Williams, who's been leading the team in scoring, but they fall in overtime to Missouri. So big win for Coach Pinkton in Missouri against the top 25-ranked Texas A&M. And looking at the rest of Division One, we had, let's see, we'll keep it moving here, boom, boom, boom. You had St. Bonnie's with a home road win against Massachusetts in the A-10, 55-38. They go to 7-12, 2-5 in the conference. You had Quinnipiac falling to Monmouth, and Quinnipiac, who I've been talking a lot about the last couple weeks, you know, was undefeated in the MAC at 8-0 coming into this game. It was a road game at Monmouth. They were 15-3 overall, and really had played some high major teams really tough earlier in the year. But they lose 61-58 to Monmouth. Again, the game is at Monmouth, and Monmouth now goes to 4-4 in the MAC. Coach Palmateer and the girls with a huge win over a really good Quinnipiac team. They're now 9-8 overall, 4-4 in the MAC, and again, Quinnipiac falls to 15-4. 8-1 in the MAC. You had Ryder staying in the MAC. They had a win, a road win at St. Peter's, and they had a tough loss the game before, and they had felt. But they now go to 13-5 overall, 7-2 in the MAC. We're staying right on the heels of Quinnipiac. So Ryder under Coach Lynn Milligan, keeping it going in a breakout year for that program. 13-5 overall, 7-2 in the MAC, 56-43 over St. Peter's. Chattanooga staying mid-major. UTC, University of Tennessee, Chattanooga hits the 67-46 home win over Western Carolina. They now go to 10-8 overall, but 4-0 in the Southern Conference in the SoCon. So congratulations to Chattanooga, 67-46 win over Western Carolina. You had Vermont in the America East, 61-46 win over UMass Lowell. They go to 2-4 in conference, 5-13 overall. So Vermont, under first-year coach, going to 61-46 win over UMass Lowell. Mentioned Virginia Clemson, mentioned Wake Forest, Carolina. You had Samford in the SoCon getting a 3-point win over Wofford. And my guy down there, Coach Garrity, first-year coach, who's really just been beset by injuries. He's been like a MASH unit down there, and they had been off to a great start. They were 11-5, one of their best starts, and they've now had a couple losses in a row, and it's just been attrition. They really are only dressing like 6 or 7 girls, and they really have been really, really beset by injuries. They got a couple of ACLs that were diagnosed a couple weeks back that the key players have really has hurt them, but they're still plugging, and unfortunately they have a tough loss on the road by 3 to Samford. So hang in there, Coach McGarity. You're doing a terrific job, especially everything considered, but they now fold to 2-2 in the SoCon, 12-7 overall. You had East Tennessee State with a 60-52 win in against staying in the SoCon over UNC Greensboro. So they get that win. You have Mercer in the Southern, is now 4-1 in the conference, 15-4 overall. Mercer with a 76-52 win at home over Furman. So Mercer having a terrific year, 15-4 overall, 4-1 so far in the SoCon. You had in the Big Ten, Penn State with the home win over Nebraska, who has given them a battle for a while in that game, but they pull away 86-69, and they were led by Tania Page, the terrific guard for Penn State, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. They go to 13-6 overall, 3-4 in the Big Ten. Nebraska now falls to 5-14, first year under Coach Williams. They're the first year head coach. They're now 1-6 in Big Ten, but I think the good things are ahead for Nebraska under Coach Williams. They're just up against it this year in a rebuilding year, but they lose at Penn State, 86-69. We had, again, it was mentioned earlier today, Albany, and I had their coach, Joanna McNamee, on my 10 o'clock show, and we talked extensively about that win. They had a road win, 67-61 over Binghamton. They were led by Imani Tate, guard, and I believe she had about 20 points, pretty much all in the second half, dominant second half from Imani Tate. But they now go to 9-9 Albany, 3-2 in the America East, as they now try to find some consistency and get things, moving, under the first-year head coach, Joanna McNamee, who has been a very successful coach in the past and is just trying to get this to be her team now, playing a little bit of a different style on both ends of the floor. So congratulations to Coach McNamee. Again, thankful to her for coming on after a road game, a bus trip, getting home late, came on this morning at 10 a.m. in a terrific spot to join me. Staying in the America East, yet Hartford with a bounce back win. They had a tough loss at Maine on the road in their last game, but they bounced back beating Stony Brook, a really feisty pro team, 65-52 at home. They go to 13-5 now, Hartford. And most people remember them. Jen Rosati was the coach there for a while, and then she took off for GW, and now Coach McNeil is there, longtime Division I assistant at the high major level, and she's gets a nice bounce back win. They now go to 4-1 the America East, 13-5 overall. And they had a big second half there for Hartford. Good win for them, 65-52 to get back on track. You had staying in the America East, New Hampshire under Maureen McGarity, who is a terrific player at Marist. Her dad was a longtime men's coach at Marist as well. And then also is now the coach at Army, doing a terrific job. But Maureen is having a breakout year at New Hampshire. She's only been there, a few years and less than that. And they are now 15-3 overall, 5-0 in the America East, 50-44 win at the aforementioned Maine, who had a big win in their last game over Hartford. But 50-44 in New Hampshire in a breakout year under Maureen McGarrett. Same mid-major IUPUI in the Summit League. The 53-41 win over Oral Roberts. They go to 13-6, 3-3 in the Summit. Appalachian State, 67-63 over Georgia State in the Sun Belt. Road win for them, so congratulations to Appalachian State. Georgia Southern, 78-70 win, staying in the Sun Belt over Coastal Carolina. Home win, they go to 6-11, 2-4 in the Sun Belt. Middle Tennessee State in Conference USA with a dominating win over Florida International at home. 95 points they drop. Huge second half with 28 points in each quarter. But 95-43 over Florida International under Coach Insel. they are now 10-7, 5-1 in Conference USA. You had Little Rock staying in the Sun Belt, beating Troy. Troy is a very good team this year, 12-5 overall, but they folded 12-5, and now they were undefeated in the Sun Belt coming into the game, but they now fall with the big upset. They're actually not really an upset because Little Rock is 6-0 in the Sun Belt and 12-6 overall, so terrific win, home win for Little Rock to take down Troy, 77-74. Going back up to the SEC, you had Arkansas with a huge win for them over Vanderbilt, 59-56 at home for Coach Dykes and the girls, and Vanderbilt just continues to struggle in close games. They've had so many close games against high major teams and in the SEC, and they are now 0-6, and Coach Stephanie White's a tremendous All-America player, player of the year player at Purdue, and then the WNBA head coach is really having a tough time of it. So far in year one, especially in these close games and in the SEC. And again, they lose a tough one, 3-point loss. And they only scored 8 points in the fourth quarter. They do have a lot of young players, but again, just been an absolute draining experience as far as tough losses. Again, Vanderbilt now 10-9 overall, 0-6 in the SEC. Arkansas goes to 13-6 overall, certainly a quality overall record for them, and they now go to 2-4 in the SEC, but very good win for uplifting win for Arkansas at home over Vanderbilt. You had Kentucky staying in the SEC with a big win on the road at LSU, who coming into the game was 14-4 and 3-2 in the SEC and had some good wins, but Kentucky goes to with the 55-42 road win, and they go to Auburn, and I had Coach Lornoy on earlier, and we talked about, you know, just quickly reference that game, but Kentucky's certainly showing that they're ready for some big road wins in the SEC. They get it at LSU, 55-42. They were led by Taylor Murray, who had 11 points and 13 rebounds and 5 assists. So congratulations to Taylor Murray and Coach Mitchell getting that road win at LSU. Moving along, you had Louisiana Tech in Conference USA with a 70-67 road win at Rice, and they go to 8-9 overall, 3-3 in Conference USA. Rice drops to 10-7, 1-5 in Conference USA. So congratulations to the new coach at Louisiana Tech getting that road win against Rice. You had North Texas staying in Conference USA with the home win over Southern Miss, and North Texas with the upset win, and they pulled a 3-3 in Conference USA and now go to 6-11 overall, 75-62 over Southern Miss, who came in at and now 10-6 overall. They now dropped to 11-7, sorry. And they had now go to 3-3 in Conference USA. So North Texas with the upset win over Southern Miss. Staying in Conference USA, UAB with a home win against Florida Atlantic. UAB 66-55 over Florida Atlantic. They now go to 9-8, 2-4 in the Conference USA. In the Sun Belt, Texas State taking down Louisiana Monroe. They go to 8-9 overall, 3-3 in the Sun Belt, 63-50 over Louisiana Monroe for Texas State. We had Brett McCormick specifically talk about the Purdue-Indiana game and Indiana's win over Purdue. Indiana now 13-6, 3-3 in the Big Ten, 74-60 home win in the rivalry game, the in-state rivalry game over Purdue, and Purdue falls to 12-8, 3-3 in the Big Ten. Amanda Cahill, once again, I mentioned it earlier, led them 19 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. I believe Tyra Buster, star guard, 18 points and 8 assists. She was terrific as well and was the bus driver in that big win. Arkansas State over South Alabama in the Sun Belt. Arkansas State 56-53 win. They go to 4-14, so a big win for them. They go to 2-4 in the Sun Belt. UT Arlington are having a very good year. They go to 5-1 in the Sun Belt, 12-4 overall, 79-66 win over Louisiana Lafayette. And Coach Gerlich, who I know I spoke to before the game, wished her good luck. They get the big home win. 79-66 for 12-4, 5-1, and this is a program that beat Seton Hall and beaten a couple, you know, high major programs earlier in the year under Coach Gerlich down there doing a terrific job. In the Southland Conference, you had New Orleans with the 73-60 win over the Houston Baptist. They now go to 9-7, 4-2 in the South win, New Orleans over Houston Baptist. Going out west, you had Northern Arizona with a big win, upset win over Eastern Washington. They win at home 56-47. They go to 6-11, 2-4 in the Big Sky. Eastern Washington now falls to 9-8, 4-2 in the Big Sky. So upset win for Northern Arizona over Eastern Washington in the Big Sky. Staying in the Big Sky, Idaho with the 85-68 win over Southern Utah. They go to 8-9, 3-3 in the Big Sky. Staying in the Big Sky, Montana State with the close win at home, 84-80 over Sacramento State. Montana State now 12-5 overall, 5-2 in the Big Sky. Staying in the Big Sky, Northern Colorado is a mid-major team having a breakout year, 77-62 over Idaho State, but they now go to 15-3, Northern Colorado, 7-0 in the Big Sky. Congratulations to them. Breakout year over out there in Northern Colorado. Again, 77-62 over Idaho State. Staying in the Big Sky, Portland State with the win, 64-44 over Montana. They go to 10-8, 4-2 in the Big Sky. Staying in the second here as I scroll back. You had North Dakota in the Big Sky beating Weber State, and they go to 11-7, 6-1 in the Big Sky. So great start in the Big Sky for North Dakota, 70-65 over Weber State. In the West Coast Conference, you had San Diego beating Loyola Marymount, 61-58 at home. They go to 9-8, 3-4 in the West Coast Conference. Staying in the West Coast Conference, you had Gonzaga with the home win over Santa Clara. They go to 14-4, 5-2 in the West Coast Conference. They win 51-39 over Santa Clara. Big West, you had UC Riverside over UC Irvine, 79-58. Riverside now goes to 9-8, 3-1 in the Big East. Staying in the Big West, Hawaii, 87-79 over Cal Poly. Hawaii, 6-10 now, 2-2 in the Big West. 87-79, Hawaii over Cal Poly. Big West, UC Davis, 70-51 over Cal State Fullerton. They go to 13-5 now, 4-1 in the Big West. UC Davis, 70-51 winners on the road at Cal State Fullerton. Long Beach State in the Big West loses to UC Santa Barbara, 65-60. Santa Barbara at home, 65-60 over Long Beach. Long Beach falls to 12-7, 3-1 in the Big West. Santa Barbara goes to 8-9, 3-1 in the Big West. BYU in the West Coast Conference with a big road win over Pepperdine, 73-47. BYU now 11-7 overall, 5-2 in the West Coast Conference. Again, they beat Pepperdine 73-47. You had San Francisco in the West Coast Conference beating Portland 75-56, and that's just a down Portland program, have been for multiple years now, and just not getting it done out there. San Francisco goes to 10-8, 4-3 in the West Coast Conference, 75-56 over Portland. And finishing it up with St. Mary's in the West Coast Conference, 63-54 road win over Pacific. Mary's now 9-9 overall, 4-3 in the West Coast Conference. So there you have it, fans. There is your Division I wrap-up recap, giving you all the scores across women's basketball on that, from the Thursday night action, as we now roll into some of tonight's games. Always a light schedule on Friday. You have the Pac-12 conference back at it tonight. Oh, and that conference is loaded with exciting games and teams. So I'll be interested to follow those games. Looking to wrap it up. It's 11:33 Eastern here, second show of the day. Again, just want to thank everybody who joined me and for those who listened in. But Joanna McNamee and Brooke Wyckoff, joining me this morning, Coach McNamee from Albany, big road win last night, and Brooke Wyckoff, the assistant at Florida State, big home win against Syracuse last night. They joined me in the 10 o'clock hour this morning, and then in this 12 o'clock show, had Brett McCormick, my right-hand man with podcast, the former head of women's basketball Division I coach, and also now the elite recruiting analyst from the All-Star Girls Report. He joined me for a half hour to recap some games that we both watched last night, and then was joined by Terry Williams-Flournoy, the head coach at Auburn, with the big home win, comeback win against Tennessee last night as they moved to 4-1 in the SEC. And, again, Coach Williams-Flournoy is always a great spot, but all the guests were terrific. Brooke Wyckoff is always a great spot. Coach McNamee, her first time joining me, you know, was a great spot, wonderful woman, very good head coach. So, Thank you to all the guests for today's act, and thank you everyone who tuned in. Full day here with the Replay Podcast, getting you caught up on the women's action from last night, and then also having some great interviews. So, signing off from New York, everyone have a great rest of the day, great weekend. Keep following and supporting women's basketball. I'll be back at you early next week with the next edition of Replay. Take care, everybody. Be safe.